This is Pure Decking, show number 532 for Thursday, August 17th, 1945. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and the fact that tonight, I'm using the classy flask. We have a Fox. What's up, Fox?
What up?
And we have an Aryu. What's up, Aryu?
Oi, oi. Not much, man.
So, I'm working on a new project for the station. Aryu knows about it. Fox does not. So we'll just call it Project Enigma. Since I don't want to rely on a subreddit anymore. I don't want to set up with any other of the common social media shit. But I also don't want to set up a regular forum. So I found something I think is going to be fun. So that's what I'm going to go with. So for like Psychros, who's asking, how do I send you links now that you're not using the Reddit anymore? It's like, well, let me come up with something. So, not going to be reliant on email, not going to be reliant on a bunch of stuff. Just its own little self-contained system. A whole bunch of warnings on it about how it's not trusted and don't believe anything in it and don't trust. So, and possibly trade wars. Because that was requested.
I requested risk because I don't want to spend any more time with you fuckers.
So, I guess we'll get straight into it then. First article I've got for tonight. Aryu sent me a different version of this, but I ended up going with the Ars Technica article. Mainly because I forgot Aryu sent me a different version of this. Found the Ars Technica article, which reminded me that Aryu had sent me a version from the Ireland Times. So, people were flocking to ATMs in Ireland last night. So, Fox, you came back to the States a little too early. Should have made a stop in Ireland. Last night, as the machine seemed to be in a giving mood. Thanks to a technical glitch in the Bank of Ireland's systems, customers could reportedly pull 1,000 euros, about $1,090, from ATMs, even if they didn't have anything in their account. I mean, that's like the worst programming bug. Oh, we forgot to check that, you know, the money was actually there before the ATM dispenses the cash. As reported by local media, a technical outage allowed Bank of Ireland app users to move money that they didn't actually have into a Revolut account. Revolut is a London-headquartered company offering digital banking services. Then, customers could use any ATM to retrieve their windfall. Customers are usually limited to moving 500 euros from their account daily, but Irish publications, including the Irish Independent and the Irish Times, reported that customers claim to have moved 1,000 euros. Lines formed around ATMs as customers could suddenly receive an unexpected payday. In some cases, the police showed up. They've got a video from the BBC showing a lineup at the ATMs. Bank of Ireland's technical challenges started Tuesday when it acknowledged via its X, formerly Twitter, account. God, that's I mean, okay, Facebook renaming themselves to Meta was bad enough. This X thing is just...
Just keep calling it Twitter.
At least, like, I've spelled out, like, E-C-K-X, or not X, but like E-C-K-S, not just the letter X. If you load three tabs, is it now, not safe for work? Well, I guess Twitter's kind of not safe for work anyways, but you know what I mean.
Now you unlock the feature.
Oh, okay.
Why I have so many tabs open.
Oh, well. And acknowledged via its X, formerly Twitter, account that customers using its mobile app and online services were having difficulties. That evening, the bank pointed to a technical issue before quickly warning customers against exploiting the glitch to line their pockets. Quote, "We would like to remind customers if transferring, withdrawing funds, including over normal limits, this money will be debited from their account. We are conscious customers may not be able to check balances, but should not withdraw transfer if they are likely to become overdrawn. In other words, you're not stealing from us. We're going to get our pound of flesh no matter what. Fuck you.
Plus interest."
So the real question is, what's going to happen for somebody who did not take care of this and the bank puts -1,000 euros in their account, because you know it's going to happen.
the bank's going to hope they don't notice and pocket the cash.
No, the bank, because the person's going to notice, because, I mean, 1,000 euros is a lot of money.
What gets me out of all this, Morps, is not what happened. It's that you can't get more than 500 euros a day.
That's fairly normal money. On most bank accounts.
Of your own fucking money, though?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
I think my ATMs are capped at 6 or 7.
Yeah, but can't you go to another ATM? Like, can't you make multiple withdrawals?
Yeah, it's a daily limit per account. The idea is to keep somebody from driving around to every ATM and emptying your account after stealing your debit card.
Okay.
You have to go into the bank to request it.
See, this is how ignorant I am on bank accounts. Dude. I deal in cash.
Yeah. No, if I want to get more than that, I can.
Your friends close, too.
I certainly do.
Yeah. No, I can get more than that out of my bank account if I need to. If I just have to go in and, you know, talk to a teller and, you know, say I would like to withdraw so much money. And if it's over a certain limit, they'll say, what are you withdrawing it for? And they're not being friendly. They're actually going to put that in.
Hookers and blow. Fuck off.
Well, my fucking money, man.
Because they actually have a responsibility to the Federal Trade Commission to fill out a suspicious transfer request if you've moved a certain amount and don't have a good reason for it. So most banks, I think the FTC requirement is around 10,000. They don't say 10,000, because if they said 10,000, people withdraw 9,999 and not fill out the SAR, right? And they'll just do that 5 or 6 times. So instead, they say if it's around 10,000, so it's kind of up to the teller's discretion, you know, that if, is it close enough or not? But a lot of banks will have their own know your customer policies that have much lower limits, like in the $2,000 to $3,000 range. And they will ask, you know, what are you withdrawing this cash for? And if you say hookers and blow fuck off, they may say, well, I don't think you're really the person who owns this account, and not let you get the money.
I do mine in a weird way. I do the exact same amount every week at the exact same roughly time, the exact same ATM, empty my bank account every week, and just hold the cash.
Well, I mean, you know, there are certainly reasons for that, and I know the scuttlebutt is right now that we're probably getting ready to see another major downturn in our economy, so who knows? Maybe the under the mattress is the more secure savings option right
now. Yeah, but it doesn't matter, because the 100 I took out last week is only worth 99 this week. It comes to goods and commodities, you know what I mean?
That's for damn
sure. If you actually think about it, it's fucking devastating, man. Because everything I bought last week is more expensive this week. And it's not getting any better. I don't care what they're telling us.
No, it's absolutely not.
It's not.
Well, I mean, hell, it's like that video we were watching the other day of the car prices. You know, those F-150s. Those things are ridiculous.
Yeah, it is absolutely fucking...
And Ford is baffled that nobody's buying them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who the fuck can afford a $90,000 fucking truck?
On what? Credit? At what, 7.5%?
If you've
got good credit?
Yeah, that's the good credit. It's more like 8 or 9 if you've ever, you know, missed a payment once in your life.
Uh-huh, right. And let's face it, vehicles are a bad debt. It's not good debt.
It does not increase in value.
No.
No, it's bad debt.
You drive that fucking thing off the lot, it's no longer worth $90,000. I'm
getting a whole heap of bad debt this afternoon. I can't fucking talk, you know.
Well, I mean, I've got no room to talk either, because, I mean, like we all talked about, I just bought a car this year. And I did it at the beginning of the year, so it was just like, but, you know,
we did. We sort of did too, and the car's just getting here now.
Yeah. And it's just like... He's like, well, fuck this. I'm going to go find a used car. Good fucking luck. I mean, that market is still a mess.
Okay, you want to talk about a fucked up car market. I know we're getting away from the banking thing here, but I think it all still
ties in. We'll
come
back to it.
The idea that we're going to phase out gasoline cars by 2030. You know what my petrol car is now worth? The market just went through the fucking roof, because there's roughly about 50 to 60% of people who never own an electric vehicle. They don't want one.
There's not enough lithium in the ground for everyone who has a gas car today to have a battery car tomorrow.
There's not enough children in the third world being born to put in the mines to mine this shit to start with. But, I mean, that's low emissions mining
there. It's because their plan is not for you to get an electric car. It's for you to just not have a car and be entirely dependent on their services.
Aha! Now you're talking my money. It's going to drive the value of cars that we've got now through the roof. And as one of the mechanics I hang out with every now and then, he's like, dude, I'm getting richer every day with the electric vehicle stuff, because I'm getting more and more cars coming in for servicing, and people are actually investing in their car now. Unlike before, they'd like wait 6 months, get a service. Now they're coming in every 3 months because they're going, I've got to keep this thing running. We are seeing an uptick in car maintenance. The workshop I go to is a 2 week wait before you even get a look in. And it's never been like that. It's only this year.
Well, think about it. I mean, yeah, you're right. Think about it. It's these gas cars, especially ones that are, you know, maybe not new now, but, you know, less than a couple of years old. There's going to be a limited supply of them when they stop making them. And especially the ones that don't have all the fucking kill switch shit in them. Or better yet, you can take that stuff out. Yeah. Actually, I got a Ford story here. A couple of stories in.
Would you like to download the heated seats upgrade? Would you like to use your seatbelts? That will be $9.95 per month.
Unauthorized modification detected. You did not pay for the heated seats and are using it. Prepare to be arrested. The car is driving you straight to jail. Because you know the moment somebody hooks up a fucking Arduino and unlocks those features, they're going to get sued.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people are already doing it, but...
Yeah, I was just going to say there are people out there already working on ways around this stuff.
Oh, yeah, I can order a little $75 add-in board for my car that kills a couple of the really annoying eco shit. Mainly the one that kills the engine at every stoplight. God, that thing is annoying. When I forget to turn it off.
I don't see how that's a thing. Like, it doesn't make any sense for the engine to shut down and start back up again.
That's just one of those things that somebody came up with and nobody questioned it, and now it's required on all new cars or some bullshit.
Thanks, Greta.
Yeah, it just makes no sense, because the wear and tear on the starter motor alone has got to be an absolute nightmare.
What the frustrating thing about it is not that it's there, because I could see some people wanting it because they think it helps. Fine. You want to have a feature? Great. Let me turn it off. Because it has a button to turn it off. And I have to hit that button every time I start the car. It will not remember that setting. Now, I can buy a little add-in board that, you know, you reach up behind the panel, unhook a wire harness, and put this in between it. And basically, it's an Arduino that remembers the setting and just sets it appropriately every time you start the car.
So you've essentially voided your warranty and canceled your insurance by adding that to your car.
Well, I haven't ordered it yet, but I'm probably going to. And then if I ever need work done on the car, hopefully I remember to take it out.
Why do you hate the environment?
Because it never did anything for me.
Remember, kids, to return your batteries to the local sea.
It's like, what has the environment done for you lately, other than try to kill you? I've seen Cocaine Bear. I don't want shit to do with the environment. Right, back to the bank. According to The Independent, the glitch resulted in, quote, huge queues at ATMs in Dublin, Limerick, Dunland, and other parts of the country, unquote. Northern Ireland customers could have tried to pull money that they didn't have from ATMs, too, but a bank's spokesperson told the BBC that the bank, quote, didn't have similar reports of customers using Northern Ireland ATMs last night. So that's the trick of this, and this was what was in the article that RU sent me, was that the bank didn't notice this because of bad financial transactions showing up in their audits. The bank noticed it because of the unusual amount of ATM activity. Now, to be fair, the bank I work for monitors for unusual ATM activity, too. They're more interested in people hooking chains to it and trying to, you know, pull it out of the wall with a truck But given the fact that the truck is probably worth more than what's in the ATM these days, I don't know that that's continuing to happen. But, yeah, I know several banks that actually, you know, they monitor lots of things. But, yeah, that was how they caught it. So, yeah. Today, the Bank of Ireland told Irish Times that the, quote, volume of transactions conducted last night wouldn't be a significant portion of our overall transaction volume through an average day, unquote. Yeah, bullshit. The bank didn't respond to Ars Technica's request for comment about what caused the problem, but told the Irish Times that it was not connected to a cyber attack. Quote, I don't know if I'll get away with it, but it's worth a shot, unquote. A man using an ATM in Dublin who reportedly heard of the glitch told the Irish Times. Well, if you're smart about it, right, and if you've got more than $1,000 in your account or euros in your account, and you want to try it to see if you get free money or not, and, you know, wait a few weeks afterwards to see if the bank goes in and takes the money out of your account or not. I mean, I understand playing the gamble, right? But, like, yeah. If you've got 50 bucks in your account and you try to pull the 1,000 euros out, is it really worth what the bank's going to do when they take your account to negative 900 or whatever? Because even if you go give them the money back, it's like, well, we've tacked on this fee and this fee and this fee. And even after giving us the 1,000 euros back, you still owe us 500. So,
that is how the bank do.
The suggestion of free money is exhilarating, but as we all know, banks aren't in the business of giving away cash. This is no exception. As noted above, the Bank of Ireland told customers via X they would be charged for any money removed. However, it's unclear if the Bank of Ireland made this announcement through other communication channels besides its social media account. The Irish Times asked the Bank of Ireland how it could ensure customers' credit ratings aren't harmed due to this fiasco, and was reportedly told that customers, quote, who may find themselves in financial difficulty due to overdrawing on their account, unquote, should contact the bank. In other words, they didn't say they were going to help you with your credit ratings. They're going to fuck your credit ratings if you did this. The bank's representatives also told the publication that customers, quote, won't be out of pocket where any direct debits, interest, or other related fees accrue due to the outage, unquote. Due to the outage, that wording is important, not due to their activity.
That was an outage if you could still access your account. Not an outage.
That's just what they're calling it to try to save face.
I know.
That's called a publicist.
I am sick of publicists. Call it what it is. You fucked up. You done goofed. You hired one too many fucking diversity in your back end.
That's where you have your differences between a bug and a feature. It helps them, it's a feature. But it helps you, it's a bug.
Yep, pretty much. The Irish publication, The Journal, asked that the bank if customers who have drafted their accounts would face overdraft or interest rate fees and was told there will be no customer derangement in relation to interest in that scenario. That wasn't answering the question. It just said we're not going to, you know, do that to interest.
They probably haven't figured out what they're going to do yet.
No, they're not. That's why they're just giving out these bullshit answers. After a flub like this, though, it still seems plausible that users who overdrew from their accounts, whether accidentally or intentionally, may have a headache on their hands, even if it's only a matter of dealing with customer service. That's why Ireland's central bank is getting involved. In a statement cited by the Irish Times, the bank said it was monitoring the situation and engaging with the Bank of Ireland to ensure that any issues and errors identified are resolved for customers, and that it is doing all it can to ensure customers' expectations of high-quality, uninterrupted services met, unquote. Various publications shared a statement from the Bank of Ireland today that says, in part, yesterday a technical issue impacted a number of Bank of Ireland services. Our teams restored these services overnight, and all services are available to customers this morning. Overnight payments to accounts may appear throughout the day. We are aware that the technical issue meant some customers were able to withdraw or transfer funds above their normal limits. These transfers and withdrawals will be applied to customers' accounts today. We sincerely apologize for the disruption of this outage caused. We know we fell far behind the standards and expect our customers expect from us, unquote. So, yeah, they're going to apply that money to your account. The bank's not letting you just get free money out of the ATM. And my question is, okay, let's say you were a good person and did not try to take advantage of getting free money from the ATM, yet you go in the next day and see 1,000 euros missing out of your account. And you go to the bank and say, I didn't do anything. Why'd you take money out? And they say, yes, you did. How do you prove a negative? How do you prove you didn't go, you do any of this? If they decide you
neither knows nor cares.
So.
Your money is our money now, and we're going to spend it on drugs.
They do the South Park Cable Company thing and just, you know, flip down the nipple flaps.
Oh no, your money's missing. Oh no.
That's unfortunately probably closer to the truth than anyone would like.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, the next article, R, you also sent me, but I did legitimately find this one on my own before he sent it to me. So I'm not giving R you credit for this one because I found this one before the, you know, R you found it before I did, but I didn't see it until I don't know how that
fair
works.
Enough.
You know what? I'm just going to start getting out of Magic 8 Ball. Should I give somebody credit for a story? This one's from the Register. Microsoft may store your conversations with Bing if you're not an enterprise user. Yeah.
Wait, you mean the company that repeatedly turns on telemetry that you've already turned off on your machine every update might be storing some more of your data? Gasp.
I know. I was shocked. Actually fell to the floor in disbelief.
I really wish Microsoft would have just stopped at Windows XP.
Yeah. Yeah. You and me both, dude.
You and me both. You know, you could turn off the candy interface or put a better theme on it at least. You know, make it look like Windows 2000. Load a couple of drivers. Pretty damn good operating system. Windows 7 was actually pretty decent too, but then they loaded it up with all the updates. And now, all the modern, you know, hell, Windows 11 is basically a marketing tool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. Oh, I see you've used up your 5 free gigs of OneDrive storage. Yeah, shame about that rest of that terabyte drive you have there, but you can't use it till you pay us for more OneDrive storage. What the fuck? Yeah, that was a fun one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Microsoft prohibits users from reverse engineering or harvesting data from its AI software to train or improve other models, and will store inputs passed into its products as well as any output generated. Its products. So that's like everything. The details emerge as companies face fresh challenges with the rise of generative AI, people who want to know what corporations are doing with information provided by users, and users are likewise curious about what they can do with the content generated by AI. Microsoft addresses these issues in a new clause titled AI Services in its Terms of Service. 5 new policies, which were introduced on the 30th of July and will come into effect on September 30th, state that 1. Reverse engineering. You may not use AI services to discover any underlying components of the models, algorithms, or systems. For example, you may not try to determine and remove the weights of the models. Got it. No asking the AI to explain itself. Extracting data. Unless explicitly permitted, you may not use web scraping, web harvesting, or web data extraction methods to extract data from the AI services. Again, Microsoft later added, because we're doing that and Google's doing that and you're not us. Limits on the use of data from AI services. You may not use the AI services or data from the AI services to create, train, or improve directly or indirectly any other AI service. So, okay, that one's fair enough. Don't use our service to build our competitor. Use your content. As part of providing the AI services, Microsoft will process and store your inputs to the service as well as outputs from the service for the purposes of monitoring and for preventing abusive or harmful uses or inputs of the service. Eh, okay.
We don't want you to make our AI racist again.
Well, I mean, they're saying specifically for the purpose of... Basically, they're saying, look, if you use the AI to generate porn, we can delete it, and we can stop you from doing it. So that one, actually, as far as a cloud service goes, okay. Third-party claims. You are solely responsible for responding to any third-party claims regarding your use of the AI service in compliance with applicable laws, including but not limited to copyright infringement or other claims related to content output during your use of the AI service. What the fuck?
Oh.
What they're saying is, if you generate something with AI on Microsoft systems using a Microsoft model, and it spits out an AI image, and then an artist sues you for using an AI image that they claim is generated using their inputs, one, you have no way to defend yourself in court because you used a Microsoft tool to do it, and as per their own things, you can't figure out what's in their fucking models. And so Microsoft is saying its users are on the hook for any copyright infringement they did training their model.
That's throwing it in there to be like, they're trying to absolve themselves of any wrongdoing and don't sue us, sue somebody else.
Yeah, sue the end user, not us. That's fucked up.
Microsoft.
Well, yeah. What do we say? Learn Linux. Or if the internet is dead, one of the two. Actually, seriously considering changing the station tagline to "The Internet is Dead." But I still want to support the robot uprising, so I don't know. In some cases, it's easy to peer under the hood of some of Microsoft's AI products. When it launched its AI-powered Bing chatbot, for example, users uncovered the prompt used to shape its behaviors, which revealed its secret codename Sydney. Developers have tried to poke around at the underlying code to get a better sense of how it generates text, too. That's all now technically banned under the new policies. Rules preventing developers from using any data generated by its AI models to improve and train other systems have also been adopted by other companies like Meta, Google, OpenAI, and Anthropic. It's not clear how well this can be enforced, however, especially as more and more text on the internet is written by machines, and they all scrape these resources to train their own models. A spokesperson from Microsoft declined to comment on how long the company plans to store user inputs into the software. Quote, "We regularly update the terms of service to better reflect our products and services. Our most recent update to the Microsoft Services Agreement includes the addition of language to reflect the artificial intelligence in our services and its appropriate use by customers," unquote, the representative told the Register in a statement. Microsoft has previously said, however, that it doesn't save conversation or use that data to train its AI models for its Bing Enterprise chat mode. These policies are a little murkier for its Microsoft 365 Copilot. Although it doesn't appear to use customer data or prompts for training, it does store information. Quote, Copilot can generate responses anchored in customers' business content, such as user documents, emails, calendars, chats, meetings, contacts, and other business data. Copilot combines this content with the user's working context, such as the meeting a user is in now, the email exchanges the user has had on a topic, or the chat conversations the user has had in the last week. Copilot uses this combination of content and context to help deliver accurate, relevant, contextual responses, unquote. You know, well, okay, fine. I'm sure they contacted the representative wanting an actual answer, not just the marketing slick, but, you know, hey. In short, be mindful what you type into Bing if you're not an enterprise user and don't want Microsoft to store your prompts or conversations you had with the chatbot. Well, that advice probably goes for anything these days.
Yep.
Anything you type in will be used against you, probably in a court of law.
Well, depending how it goes, we may not have a court of law. It could be a struggle session.
A struggle session. A
truth-telling ceremony.
Or a binding arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways. Next story?
Yeah.
All right. This next one's from Torrent Freak. YouTube DL site goes offline. So, this is not the source code. This is just the website. I mean, basically, this is, let me read the article. In 2020, the RIAA infuriated many players in the open source community by targeting YouTube ripping tool YouTube DL. The RIAA sent a takedown notice to GitHub, claiming that the software bypassed technological protection measures in violation of the DMCA. That's such a bad law. GitHub initially complied but later changed course. After consulting legal experts, including those at the EFF, it restored the YouTube DL repository and launched a $1 million defense fund to assist developers in similar disputes. This episode was a massive setback for the music industry, which had been fighting stream ripping tools for years. However, instead of laying down their arms, Sony, Warner, and Universal went after Uberspace, YouTube DL's website hosting company in Germany. A German court previously ruled that the stream's ripping software bypasses YouTube's rolling cipher download protection. This is seen as a circumvention of technological protection measures, a violation of intellectual property law in Europe. Earlier this year, this line of reasoning was also adopted by the District Court of Hamburg. While the open-source YouTube DL software is hosted on GitHub, Uberspace was held liable as the host of the YouTubeDL.org website because it linked to the developer platform. So understand that. Not because they were even hosting the program, but because they were hosting the website and linking to the program. They held the platform liable.
That's retarded.
I mean...
Yeah, that's retarded.
It's just, you know... We called it at the time when they started taking down the really egregious, you know, the racism and stuff like that, these hosting companies, that opened the door, and here we are. You know?
Yep.
Do I like the racists? No, they're annoying. But, you know, the moment you start censoring, the moment you open the door for these companies to be forced to take things off the internet, well, there it is. Like we said, we've lost the internet. It's dead. In its defense, Uberspace argued that the protection can be circumvented using any regular web browser. In any case, the YouTube DL software has plenty of legal uses. These arguments failed to sway the court. The court recognized that YouTube's rolling cipher protection is far from perfect, but concluded that it's good enough to signal to the average user that downloading content from YouTube is not permitted. Quote, "The average user must recognize that YouTube content, unlike media content on other websites, cannot be downloaded with a simple right click, and must be aware that this is achieved using technology on YouTube, and that YouTube DL overrides this protection. It is therefore assumed that the average user acts in bad faith," unquote, the Hamburg wrote. So yeah, anything beyond being able to do a right-click save as, like if you have to, you know, hit F12 and pull up the developer console, that's an act of bad faith.
Oh.
And, you know, you use the plugin in your browser? Oh, that's an act of bad faith. Fuck you!
Yeah, that's a little too far.
I mean, it's bullshit. Okay. YouTube DL is a tool. If somebody is using a tool... I was going to say, do you go after crowbar manufacturers for people breaking into houses? No.
Don't give them ideas, Morps. And if you need a crowbar to break into a house, get a better fucking line of job. You suck. But no, I see what you're saying, Morps.
Can I sue the company that made the pencil if I fail a test in school? It's a fucking tool.
Down to, can I sue the gun manufacturer for when I get shot?
Well, they are trying to do that one.
Well, that's what I mean. It's a stupid fucking idea. Because it's not the gun or the manufacturer. It's a fucking idiot that shot you. Yeah, or maybe it's your fault because you mouthed off to the wrong fucking person.
I mean...
You ever think you may have played a small part in your shooting?
This is the same thing over and over again. You can see, I mean, the same thing happened with the music industry when tech companies started releasing tape recorders. Home tape recorders.
Yes.
It's the same argument over and over again. Oh, well, somebody could use this to steal from us, therefore you have to... It's like, fuck off. The ruling was published in March, but Uberspace wasn't required to take action right away. The hosting company decided to appeal, which meant that YouTube DL site remained online unless the music companies posted a 20,000 euro bond. Initially, it didn't appear that the labels would enforce the order, but that changed a few days ago. The plaintiffs informed Uberspace that they had posted the security, leaving the company no other choice than to take the site offline. Speaking with Torrent Freak, Uberspace owner Jonas Posch says that his hands are tied. Failure to comply with the order would either result in a massive fine or worse, a prison sentence. Quote, "I received that information from the plaintiff's side on July 27th with proof that they did the security deposit at a bank. So I no longer have a choice but to follow the judgment. Otherwise, I would face a fine of 250,000 euros or jail time," unquote. posh notes. So, for several days, people who visited YouTube DL's site saw a blocking notice instead, which they've got a picture of above. It's a pretty basic block. At the time of the writing, the website didn't load at all. Uberspace will continue the legal battle and is prepared to fight the order up to the highest court possible. If the appeal is successful, Posh will gladly unblock the site. Quote, we are confident that a higher court will overturn the judgment of the Hamburg Regional Court, so we'll be able to unblock the site as soon as that happens, unquote. He says Uberspace is not the website's domain registrar, so YouTube DL may yet decide to point its domain elsewhere. For now, that hasn't happened. The software remains available on GitHub, where it also has a dedicated website. The hosting company previously told us that the Hamburg court's devastating order opens the door to privatized censorship, citing this threat as one of the main reasons to fight back. Quote, the consequences of this will be that hosting providers receiving complaints will most likely kick out their customers without a court ruling for things that might be perfectly legal, unquote, Posh said at the time. Quote, this is a shameful day for the freedom of speech. It's paving the way for privatized censorship. Do we as a society really want this? We strongly believe we're on the right side of history here, unquote. And I agree with him. You know, unless the website is hosting blatantly illegal content, the host, and even then, the person running the website, not the registrar, not the host, should be responsible.
What did Twitter's new CEO say? Something like, even if it's legal, we still won't let you look at it? Oh, if it's lawful but awful, we won't post it. It doesn't matter if it's lawful, but if we find it abhorrent, we're going to take it down.
Well, then they're acting as editors, and they don't have the Section 230 protection. At least they should.
Right. Take it off them. I don't know, man.
What is this one?
I stopped ripping shit from YouTube ages ago. Only because there's nothing worth on there ripping anymore. Got everything I wanted.
There were a few things on there worth getting. I still occasionally like to get sound clips for the board, although I haven't updated them in a while that way. And I'd say that's fair use, by the way. Yeah. You know, when I grab somebody's sound clip to go make...
it's transformative.
Everything is fine.
Yeah, it's transformative. I mean, every fucking media show does that. Where they get funny clips of shit. Most of them do Austin Powers and Will Ferrell movies. So, you know, as opposed to the 1960s cartoon I got that from. But,
anyway. You know, these poor starving music execs. the Napsters really...
Napster really bore them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. See them all crying poor today.
Mm-hmm.
I think Metallica's really hurting. They're really hurting.
Fire bad. If you get that reference, you're old.
I was looking at the writer's strike. This is the funniest shit I've ever seen. Never have I seen a bunch of fucking obsolete people complaining about wanting a job. Like, your day's done. Learn to code, faggots.
You know,
isn't that what they were saying to everybody else? Learn to code.
You can just say, if it weren't for the news telling me that there was a writer's strike, would you notice?
Wouldn't notice. No, it's all shit anyway. I think Disney's churning out another load of shit films. They gotta go bankrupt soon.
Disney's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
Although there was something about them looking at selling off some of the properties they bought. I think there was Star Wars they were looking at selling off at one. At least that was a rumor. So.
Are they going to give it to Netflix?
Fuck, I don't know.
God, sell it back to George Star Lucas, Wars I guess. Netflix. I'd give it to him. Fucking ruined it to start with. How about we just call Star Wars done? How about that? We just put that IP to rest.
No, we can make more money off.
Fuck it.
I mean, it was dead. It was done for how long? After the first
exactly.
Three?
First three
and yet, here they are getting shit tons of money for it.
Not getting my money. They haven't had any of my money since Return.
But they're getting plenty of other people's money.
Although those people they can have at it. You piss your money away any way you want.
Oh, I'm sure they'll find some other property to resurrect and start making sequels to. Maybe they'll make another Pirates movie.
I heard they're going through the Mattel toy line looking for shit to make.
Well, they could always make another Tron. Those always are fun.
Oh, God. Remake was terrible.
But it had Daft Punk.
Oh, God. Yeah, the only decent movie we've seen lately is, I can't even pronounce the name of it, but it's essentially John Wick Germany, you know, from World War II. Fucking awesome, that film.
I haven't seen the last John Wick. Is that any good?
No, dude, I dropped out fucking 35 minutes into it. Really? It's like a side-scroller. Yeah, it's like watching Streets of Rage.
I was going to say, the first couple were good, but by the third one, it's kind of like, well, this is getting a little predictable.
I mean, I like the world they built, and then they just once took it too far. Like, you get a whole world where everybody's a contract killer.
Well, they must be, for the number of them that keep showing up.
I know, there's no garbage men, there's no bus drivers, no taxi drivers, everyone's a contract fucking killer.
It's like the one guy who's not a member of some secret society, he's just kind of going about his life. And
looking around going, what the fuck's happening, man? That, some secret thing I'm not in on?
That would be a fucking amazing movie, right? It's following just some normal guy who's on his regular everyday life. Everyone around him's a member of some secret society or the other. And you put it in the John Wick world, right?
You're living in my world, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's like this illegal tobacco going around, being sold through shops, like legitimate shops. And I'm watching this small tobacconist near my place. Fucking people coming in all day, every day, in and out, in and out. I went in there to see if I could like scope out what was going on. They sell next to no fucking real tobacco products. Yet they have hundreds of customers coming in and out constantly. Everyone gets a brown paper bag and leaves. I can't get in. I want in. I don't know how to get in on this.
Welcome to the guy behind the counter. Wink. Give him a squeeze on the butt. See what happens.
No, dude, because the thing with all these tobacconists that have opened up, they're all run by ladies in their 70s.
Well, that makes it easier to give her a squeeze on the butt. I mean.
You know? Oh, no, dude, I'm pretty sure these are well-connected fucking operations. Like,
what was the one in Europe that was, England, Turkish barbers that were like spinning up everywhere? There's some shit with that, and people said, "Oh, it's racist to point it out." So,
but dude, everyone knows that they're selling black market tobacco. I just can't figure out how to go in and ask for it without like I know there's going to be two big dudes out the back.
But, you know, you walk in awkwardly, do the open mouth wink. I'm here for some product. Be as obvious as you can.
I am pretty sure it's all done through some marketplace app on a phone. You make an appointment, you go get your shit. Like, you have to be invited or something like that. Otherwise, these places get raided really easily. If I could spot what they are, you know, the cops know what it is.
Well, they're probably getting their cut.
Yeah, possibly. I'm just pissed I'm not getting my discount illegal tobacco.
It's like just walk in there and just say, okay, what fucking Telegram channel are you guys using?
I haven't got a phone, so I can't fucking do it anyway.
Oh, right.
I could probably go see the dude over the road because I know he goes there. He could probably get me an intro.
Say, look, I don't have a phone. What do I do?
I have a phone, but I want drugs. Please help.
It's not even drugs, it's just tobacco.
Fox is going to get an alert that the emergency phone he left in the Faraday cage at your place is activated. It's like, the minutes have expired. Do you want to reload? Wait, what?
Hey, I get a SIM card with someone else's name on it. Fucking, that is gold in this country. How much shit I could scream at politicians on the phone and know that they'd be going after someone else and not me because that SIM card doesn't belong to me.
Can you not buy this prepaid anonymous SIM cards?
Nah, dude, they ended those years ago because they were being used for drugs.
Yeah, they still are here, but you can go get them.
They can't. You can't get a SIM card without I think it's 3 points of ID now.
Really?
passport, credit card, and birth certificate, some shit like that. Driver's license.
I haven't tried to buy an extra SIM card in years, but the last time I did, you could just go in the store, buy one with cash.
Yeah, no, wait, before I got rid of phones, that was probably one of the big reasons I did get rid of phones, too, was when that law came in. No, you can't do that here anymore without a proper 3 points.
I wasn't kidding about the fancy flask, but it might not have been the best idea to keep a full flask of bourbon on the desk because it's getting...
It's always a good decision.
Well, there's less of it there in there than there should be. I'm going to have to refill it. Let's see. Oh, we're going to have to prune stories. I just saw the clock. Let's do this Ford one real quick. Ford owners... This is from TechSpot. Ford owners using Sync 3 infotainment should turn off Wi-Fi. Basically, they found a driver bug that potentially somebody can do remote code execution just over a Wi-Fi connection, like trying to connect to it. So I need to check mine because I don't remember if it's Sync 3 or Sync 4. But yeah, actually, I think I turned Wi-Fi off anyways. I'll double check, see if it turned itself back on. yeah, it's a theoretical. They haven't actually seen it in the wild, but... yeah, they're going to put it there. They say they're planning a security update to fix it. But for now, if you have a Ford and it's got Sync 3, turn the Wi-Fi off just to be safe. And honestly, unless you're using it for something, probably shouldn't have it on anyways. Because I don't know what your car needs Wi-Fi for. So. Next one up is from The Verge. And, it is a 3D printer story, so we'll just summarize it real quick because, again, I saw the clock. Bamboo X1C and P1P printers started printing while owners were asleep. So I have one of these printers, so I should clarify. They do network printing, but their software runs it all through the Bamboo cloud, which is kind of annoying that it doesn't just locally send it to your machine like an OctoPrint instance does. It instead runs it up through their cloud. And apparently they had a cloud outage on October 15th, or August 15th. And I told you I've been drinking. And apparently some of these machines started redoing print jobs that they had already finished. So somebody had sent a print job to it earlier in the evening. And then the cloud service sent it again. So some people were waking up to an extra copy of whatever item on their printer. Some people were waking up to their printers making god-awful horrible noises and the print heads jamming themselves apart because they didn't, remove the first print from the build before it started trying to do the second one.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Barely accidentally burned your house down.
Well, that's the thing with 3D printers, right? Because it is one of the few devices that's connected to the internet that gets hot enough to start a fire. So. But yeah, there are people who are posting that they've got damage to their machines. Like somebody's got a cracked print head. Somebody else has a pretty fucked up build plate. Bamboo did say reach out to support. So I'm guessing they're going to try to make this right for people. I mean, I've got P1P. My experience is they've been a pretty good company, but yeah. Go ahead, are you?
No, I just say I hope they do.
I think.
Turn your printer off when you're done.
Yeah. Actually, it says, to Bamboo's credit, the company has a robust LAN-only mode that you can turn on in the printer settings. That must be new. There was a firmware update a couple of weeks ago. I need to check that. So, yeah, they've set it up so you can opt out of the internet. So I need to check that, because holy shit. Okay, now next to the last story that I really wanted to get to, no dojo tonight, which is good because again I've only got 5 minutes left. So, Well, 10 minutes left. We started a little late, so I guess I didn't need to quite rush as much. But, yeah, also, if you have devices like 3D printers and other things that are cloud-enabled, you can just power them off when you're not using them. Like, you know, the printer has a power switch on the back. I do turn it off when I'm not using it, which might be why mine didn't do this. At least not that I noticed. So, anyways, just a thought. Okay, next article is from space.com. U.S. Space Force creates first unit dedicated to targeting adversary satellites. This is not going to end well.
No.
The United States Space Force has activated its first and only unit dedicated to targeting other nations' satellites and the ground stations that support them. The 75th Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance Squadron was activated on August the 11th at Peterson Space Force Base in Colorado. This unit is part of Space Delta 7, an element of the U.S. Space Force tasked with... I'm still pissed they didn't call it Starfleet. Everybody would be so on board if they had just called it Starfleet instead of Space Force. Tasked with providing intelligence on adversary space capabilities. It'll do things like analyze the capabilities of potential targets, locate and track these targets, as well as participate in target engagement, which presumably refers to destroying or disrupting adversary satellites, the ground stations that support them, and the transmissions sent between the two. I really hope they focus on hacking and taking the things over first as opposed to just blowing them up. Because if you look up the there's this thing with the space America. Junk in orbit. No, go ahead, Fox.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say America.
America!
But yeah. Yeah, but yeah, the amount of space debris that's already in orbit leading to what's the...
The scenario where everything just starts blowing up.
There's a name for it.
I'll try to Google it, but continue on. I can't remember it, but I feel like if we start blowing up each other's satellites, other nations might retaliate in kind, and we might accelerate the whole we can no longer put things in orbit or leave the surface because of the amount of space junk in the air, and you have to just wait for all the shit to have its orbits decay and burn up in the atmosphere. So that's like, you know, a very long time. It's like hundreds of years. Syndrome. Huh?
Kessler syndrome.
There it is. So Lieutenant Colonel Davis Anderson, who leads the squadron, said in a too bad he wasn't a major. Anyways. No, wait, that wasn't the guy's name. What was major the guy's Tom. Name? No, that was Nelson. Never mind. Okay. Who leads the squadron said in a Space Force statement. A Space Force hoot. Come on, guys. A Space Force statement that the idea of a dedicated space targeting unit has been years in the making. Quote, today is a monumental time for the history of our service. Unquote, Anderson said. Quote, the idea of this unit began 4 years ago on paper and has probably been in the minds of several U.S. Air Force intelligence officers even longer. Unquote. The unit's patch was also unveiled at its activation ceremony, revealing it to be adorned with a Grim Reaper who has the Delta shape for a nose. According to a Space Force statement.
It looks like the most Edgelordy bullshit you'd see on like some gamer tag. It does not look...
It does really look like what you would see an old Counter-Strike clan using. It really does. You got Dragon Scales on there, you got the Grim Reaper, he's got the Starfleet Delta for a nose.
The weird, like, undrawable shaped triangle... optical illusion thing.
Yeah. According to a Space Force statement, the Delta represents historic ties to the earliest days of the U.S. Air Force space community, as well as all variations of space vehicles that support the U.S. military. Master Sergeant Desiree Cabrera, 75th ISRS Operations Superintendent, said the new unit will revolutionize the targeting capabilities of not just the Space Force, but also the entire U.S. military. Quote, not only are we standing up to the sole targeting squadron, or not only are we standing up the sole targeting squadron in the U.S. Space Force, we are changing the way targeting is done across the joint community when it comes to space and electromagnetic warfare, unquote. The 75th ISRS will also analyze adversary space capabilities, including, quote, counter space force threats, unquote. According to Space Force's statement, counter space forces refer to adversary systems aimed at preventing the U.S. from using its own satellites during a conflict. These systems range from ground-based lasers that can blind optical sensors on satellites to devices that can jam signals or conduct cyber attacks to hack into adversary satellite systems. These aren't limited to America's adversaries. The U.S. Space Force has conducted multiple training exercises to practice its own live-fire satellite jamming and simulated on-orbit combat training. Okay, that one actually sounds pretty cool. On-orbit combat training. I'm thinking, what were you guys fighting, Klingons? But I mean, you know, still. As militaries worldwide become increasingly reliant on space-based assets like navigation and communication satellites, early warning missile tracking systems, and targeting sensors, the Space Force and other nations' militaries will no doubt be increasing their abilities to monitor both defensive and offensive capabilities in Earth's orbit. As long as they don't start blowing each other's satellites up, I don't care. Because I just don't want the whole Oort cloud debris thing. What'd you call it? You had the name for it, Fox.
Kessler syndrome.
Yeah, I just don't want that.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't go to space anymore. Too much shit in the way.
Just have to design... It's like, what are you doing? We're putting giant catcher's mitts in orbits to try to catch all this crap. I've seen some of the designs for dealing with space debris. That's basically what they were.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the last article, well, it's not even an article. It's just a notice that I have for tonight, just to close us out, is from anonfiles.com. I'm just going to read the statement they have up. They've taken the site down, basically. After trying endlessly for 2 years to run a file-sharing site with user anonymity, we have been tired of handling the extreme volumes of people abusing it and the headaches that it's created for us. Maybe it is hard to understand, but after tens of millions of uploads and many petabytes later, all work of handling abuse was automated through... all available channels to be as fast as possible. We have auto-banned content of hundreds of thousands of files, banned file names, and also specific usage patterns connected to abusive material to the point where we did not care if we accidentally delete thousands of false positives in the process. Even after all this, the high volume of abuse will not stop. This is not the kind of work we imagined with acquiring it, and recently our proxy provider shut us down. This cannot continue. The domain's for sale. So anonfiles.com shut down. Because they were just getting inundated with abuse requests. And they did everything they could to try to clean it up, and it wasn't enough. So the question I had was, how much of that abuse was legitimate, and how much of that was just simply other companies trying to get them shut down? And simply hounding them out of business. I don't know.
Yeah, no idea, man.
Because if they were getting that aggressive at trying to clean out abuse material, I have to think that they were getting complaints from something. They were trying to comply with something. I would assume law enforcement.
Probably getting a lot of like reports for, you know, hosting horrible content, and they're trying to take it down, and it just gets uploaded faster than they can get to it, and they just keep getting reported. Yeah, it's... A couple bad actors could pull that off, or it could just be the internet's a filthy, filthy place.
Probably a bit of both, but yeah. So, I don't know. I wasn't particularly doing anything with Anon Files, but it was occasionally fun to go punch Anon Files into Pastebin and see what came up. So, you'd find some interesting things that way. I found some schematics for... some electrical system one time doing that. I didn't understand what it really went to, but I could read a schematic, so... Looked like it might have been for some kind of industrial control thing. I'm not really sure. It was just interesting to see what you would find doing that, really. Found a bunch of passworded files, too. I'm t- take a guess at what those were, but probably somebody's wares.
Hornvirus.exe.
Huh?
Hornvirus.exe.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of that. That's what virtual machines are for. Anyways, that's all I got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site, and Project Enigma when it's ready. In the IRC tonight was just myself and CyberLard. Fox. Almost called Fox Firefox. Fox, closing thoughts.
I don't have enough booze for this.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Are you closing thoughts?
If you're interested in having a look at the internet and how it used to be before it became what it is now, try that address there. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm not even going to have a guess.
Well, let me copy that out. I'll
post that into the notes. And just hit the little surprise me or search for something.
Wibbly.me?
Yeah, it's essentially the internet when it was absolutely fucking useless, but still great.
So
that's a little bit of fun.
Anyways, Fox, that, I threw the link in TeamSpeak for you there. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, I'll take a look.
So, anyways, that's all we got. I'm gonna play some sound effects and close this out.
We're sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed.
But shut up, Wesley.
Tom's gonna nose down and call tonight.